So we are reading the end of Haftaras Re'eh. We are in the second parak of the Haftarah, Yeshayahu Nunhei. So thus far we have received some Divrei Nechama. We're talking about the Aniya, Soara, Lenuchama, that there was this tossed around, oppressed one, afflicted one, Klal Yisrael, and it's going to end up getting stability. Klal Yisrael will end up having these beautiful gems. Everything is going to be looking good in Yirtzeh Hashem. He tells us, very importantly, and this is a critical piece that we have to remember, is that it's conditional, meaning it's guaranteed that it's going to happen, but tzedakah tikonani, you need to establish tzedakah. We explained different pshatim and what it means to distance yourself from Oshek. Don't be afflicted yourself. Don't afflict others. But realize that everything is from Hashem, and that should be your guiding light, is remembering that everything is from Hashem, and therefore there should be nothing that inhibits your avodas Hashem. If you're not scared of external factors, you'll be able to serve Hashem properly. And that's why we spoke about the Hashem being the one who causes wars to happen. Hashem is the one who allows enemies to attack and creates the enemies in the first place and creates their weapons. And therefore, you shouldn't be scared of the weapons. You shouldn't be scared of the enemy nations. You should only have your Shemayim. If you're afraid of Hashem, and that inspires Avodas Hashem, you have nothing to worry about. The next parak, Yeshayahu says, Hoy, kold samei lechu lamayim. Hoy is like it's an exclamation. The Farshim say it means it's a lashon of kriya v'zimun. It's an invitation. It's like, come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Lechu lamayim. Go to the water. Vasher ein lo kasef. Those who don't have money. Lechu shivru v'cholu. Go and shivru. Maybe you know from the story of Yosef, Rashi quotes it here, means to acquire, like lishbor bar, to over here means to acquire food. Ve'cholu and eat, ulechu shivru below kasef, below mechir, yayin v'cholav. And also go for free. Right? Yeshayahu knows who he's talking to. He's talking to Klal Yisrael. I got some free stuff for you. We got some wine, mechir, yayin v'cholav. Below mechir, there's free wine and free milk, water. Come get it. Enjoy. So the Gemara in Tanis, Dav Zayin, speaks about these all being a mashal for Torah. Rashi here says it, l'chu l'mayim l'Torah, yayin l'chalav. Rashi says, lekach tov miyayin l'chalav. It's even greater than wine and milk. Well, we'll speak about those things in particular in a moment. Let's just continue. Lo masishkalu kesef below lechem v'yigiachem below l'sava. Why would you bother weighing out a silver shekel? Right? Why would you bother weighing out money and just to not get bread? V'yigiachem. Put yigios efforts, tiring yourself out, wearing yourself out below l'sava and not being satiated from it. I got an answer for you. Shimu shamoa elai. Listen to me, v'ichlu tov, you're going to eat well, v'sisanag b'deshen nafshecha. And then you'll be able to have your nefesh, your soul, your life force, be able to rejoice, or to delight, really, in goodness. So in b'deshen, great abundance. So it's saying this, why would you bother putting so much effort? Imagine planting, like it's a big effort to plant seeds and plant bread. Why would you plant dead seeds that don't work? Right, you go through the whole thing. You spend the whole season plowing and putting in these dead seeds that nothing can grow from, and you bury it up, and you come out every day and you water it, and so much tircha, and there's no bread that's going to come out. Why would you do that? So obviously it doesn't make sense. Like no one would do that. But how often do we do that? How often do we invest a tremendous amount and it's not really the source of the bread? Especially if we're talking about v'sisanag v'deshen nafshechem, your soul. So sometimes it means your life, like your physical life. But sometimes it means your nefesh, like your soul. And how often do we invest a tremendous amount into things that are not meaningful and really don't produce any fruits. The fruits of our labor are just not really there, fleeting. So let's take a look at these mashalim for Torah. We have water. What else do we have? Wine and milk, right? Mayim and yayin and chalav. So the Gemara in Tanis compares them. The Gemara in Tanis, Daf Zayin, Amud Aleph at the bottom, and a different pshat, Amud Beis at the top, of the common denominator between the, like, certain, all three of these are usually carried in not such a, you know, quality looking kalim, right? It's not all kalim look nice in Torah. Also, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be the best looking person. Sometimes that's a detriment to Avodas Hashem. And, I can tell you firsthand the reason I'm not in Talmud Chacham is just because I'm so good looking. It's no, but those external things, the superficial things, can inhibit quality Torah. This is another pshat it gives in the next Talmud. But let's try to be mechalik. Because yes, okay. So you can give different you know, common denominators. But why would Yeshayahu use different terms? What's mayim? What's yayin? What's chalav? So first of all, when we think of mayim, what's mayim? What does that indicate? Ein mayim ela Torah. Okay. Yes. Ein mayim ela Torah. But when we think about water, what's one of the most basic? I guess this is too hard. There's too many things that we say about water. Okay, I'm gonna go right in there. Okay, here we go. Water is a necessity. It's a bare necessity of life. It's absolutely fundamental. If you don't find water on other planets, so then we assume that there are no aliens there. Water is something that we need to live. Happens to be, it's free and it's accessible. You know, we had some, like, whatever water situation we had a couple days ago, but in general, it's accessible, and it's a bare necessity of life. And then we have yayin and chalav. So Radak speaks over here about the significance of yayin and chalav. He says that yayin yisamach levav enosh after Torah came wine. Right, so I mean, obviously, the water piece is that we need Torah. You cannot live without Torah. Now, first of all, on one level, like a Jew who has learned Torah before can and who has really learned it, and the Torah has felt like water to him. He can never go back. He can never go back to any other life once he has learned Torah in a way that it was drinking water. No matter what happens in his life, there's always going to be something lacking. He can never go back. A Jew who knows what Torah being water is. Acher is a very unique case, but also, meaning that doesn't mean a Jew who does it is from forever. But there's always something lacking in them. There's always something wrong. Acher was also a miserable person. He was a very broken, miserable person. I think a unique example. But he's not even so unique because so many of those things, like, you know, you do see them. And he was a miserable person who suffered and did continue to learn Torah, though he also despised Talmidei Chachamim, except for Meir. But water, that's water is that. But even more, if you think about what our purpose is in this world, spiritually speaking, it is the water of life. You cannot, meaning it can externally look like you're functioning in this world, but if it's a life without Avodas Hashem, if it's a life without Torah, then you're essentially living an empty life here. You're spiritually not drinking any water. You're spiritually dehydrated. But wine is misameach a person, and that's what Radak is saying. He says that Torah is misameach a person like wine, but also chalav kamo shachalav kiyum hayunak v'gedulo kein divrei Torah. Just like milk is nurturing, it's especially for babies, it helps them grow, it helps them get everything they need, their sustenance. So Torah is also that. So it's just interesting looking at all these different pieces, because often these types of things are contradictions in life. Because wine and milk over here are luxuries. Water is a basic necessity. Often in life, a basic necessity is not a luxury, right? You have a list, right? If you have a Venn diagram, you have a circle of luxuries and a circle of basic necessities. Often they're not overlapping. There's a very small area that overlaps. Yet the Torah is that. The Torah is, we cannot live without Torah. But Torah is also, that's the greatest thing ever, right? Whoever says, oh, this is such good water. Wow. Oh, what a water, right? I've spent a lot of money on water, happens to be, right? It's in the dating in the wrong place. You spent a lot of money on, like this little bottle of water, and it's like $15, but you know, you can't say like you can't be cheap. Like $15 on water, okay, you'll pay it. Okay, so I spent a lot of money, but I said this water better be good, and guess what? It tastes like regular water. So people don't celebrate water. If Torah is water, then why do we celebrate Torah? Why do we have Simchas Torah, dancing around, singing, holding up these scrolls, so exciting, people late into the night, singing the words of Torah? Because it's not just water. It's a contradiction, almost, paradox, that it's a bare necessity, it's fundamental, but it's also a tremendous luxury. But then also in the world of Yain and Chalav, there's also a little bit of a contradiction, because often what makes a person happy is not nurturing and good for them. And often what's nurturing and good for them doesn't necessarily make them happy, right? I.e. vegetables, right? Vegetables. So, I mean, it happens to me now I got a little bit of a palate for some vegetables, but kids, they want the things, like I think candy and the vegetables is the best example. So candy would be more of the yayin, which, according to the Rambam, like that's how you mekayim Simchas Yom Tov for children, right? Or nuts, right? Nuts and things. That's all kids want, nuts. That's what they want. But the candy is something that's damaging, but it makes them happy. And vegetables, which is healthy and nourishing, it's that milk, but they are not so interested. Yet Torah is both. Torah is not just a bare necessity so you stay alive spiritually, but it is nurturing, it is nourishing, it helps your entire body and soul reach its perfection, and it makes you happy, and you can enjoy it, and it's the greatest simcha in the world. And there's Simchas Torah at the peak of Zman Simchasenu. So this contradiction of something being Mayim, Yayin, and Cholav, and these expensive luxuries, but they're accessible, and it's free, and below Kesef, and below Mechir. There's a tremendous opportunity of learning Torah. We have a tremendous opportunity to learn Torah. Yeshayahu says, Hoy, kol tzami l'chu l'mayim, everybody, I have a best deal in the world. It's something, it's water, it's wine, it's milk. Jump on board. Be involved. Why invest all your efforts into all these other things? And some of the farshim talk about like learning other chachmos of the world, chachmos nachrios. But there's a time and place for that. There's a time and place to discuss that. But to see all those other things as ends in their own right, it will not bring you sustenance. Why would you do that? Why would you do it for no reason? Shimon Shema Alai, listen to me, Vichlu Tov. This is going to be what you can do. Hatu Aznechem, lean in your ears, Uluchu Alai, Shimut Usachin Ashachem. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Shimut Usachin Ashachem. This is sometimes you'll see in Batei Medrash when they want to make an announcement. So, an announcement of a great opportunity. So it says, they write, Shimu Sechina Shechem. Listen and let your souls live. Has anybody ever seen that? Like in a base medrash or a kolal? Have you seen that? Where they make an announcement and use this pasuk. Shimu Sechina Shechem. Listen up and your soul will live. And then it says like, you know, Somebody's coming to give a shiur. So that's where it's taken from. And I'm gonna seal a covenant, an eternal covenant with you, with the chesed of David, the faithful ones, or faithful actions of chesed. He's an aid to the nations, not aid as an assistance, aid as in a witness. Nagidu mitzave leumim, and a leader and a commander to the nations. Mefarshim discuss. However, here he's saying that the descendants of David, the Malchus, will basically be reinstated, and they're going to be an aid to the umim, to give hasra, to give warning, to warn them to follow the ways of Hashem, and also a nagidu mitzave leumim, also a leader and a commander, meaning international relations. Hein goylo seda tikra. Behold, a nation that doesn't know what is going to call out. And a nation that didn't know you is going to run to you. For the sake of Hashem your God, the Holy One of Israel, because He glorified you. And that's how the Haftarah ends. That Yeshayahu says that things are going to turn around. If you do that, if you listen in, if you drink the water and the wine and the milk, you come and listen, then things are going to turn around. You were the despised one of the nations. We learned a little bit of Eicha. We learned a little bit of Yirmiyahu. We learned Chazon Yeshayahu. You're the despised one of the nations. Everyone mocked you. We know what it is. We've lived it for 2,000 years, being the bottom of the food chain. But if things are going to turn around, if you are listening to the Torah, this is what's going to make your soul live. We're going to reinstate David HaMelech, the glory of David HaMelech, the glory of Shlomo HaMelech, the base of Mikdash. And then everyone's going to come running to you. As Yeshayahu starts off, Ki mitzion teisei soro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Everybody's going to try to come to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, to learn Torah from us, the Torah that applies to them, to learn what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. And that's all going to result because we have followed in the way of the Kadosh Yisrael, and therefore He glorified us. We achieve our glory by listening to the Torah and by living the Torah. Blessed Hashem, and we have this Nechama very soon. Amen.